Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you for tuning in once again to our online vibe, and we're going to encourage you and welcome you. This is a place where we're going to have fun, not just fun, but healing, breakthrough, miracle sessions, and just a time of celebration and enjoying each other, encouraging each other in our Lord and Savior Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So we're going to pray, we're going to get our two songs on, and we're going to continue our service, and we just hope one thing, that you come expecting something, expecting to hear a word, expecting to get some enlightenment, expecting to get some encouragement, expecting to get closer to the living creator, Elohim God. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We just ask that every person here receives exactly what they've been expecting, exactly what you have for them to draw them closer to you, to remove everything that hinders them from being drawn closer to you, walking in their perfect destiny. In your precious son name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, we're going to go to our song selections, and we're going to be right back.
Good evening, ladies and gents. This is Vasilius Boatwright, and I'm here to introduce to you King and the Angels of Love.
That I'm feeling, gotta keep it real. It's all over me. Feels good now in my soul. This feeling is taking over me. It came without warning, early in the morning. Got the saints wondering what's gotten into me. If there's anything you wanna know about me, you wanna know something real, then I want you to know.
I do hope that you're enjoying yourself this evening. Just a reminder, there's a 2-for-1 breakfast special in the bathroom in the back. That's for Harold.
This feeling is like fire, just like fire. Shut up in my bones. I try to keep silent, but this thing won't leave me alone. Thinking back on it, on all of this goodness, and now I'm a witness. You done so much for me, and another thing you wanna know about me. You wanna know something real, but I want you to know this joy that I had. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Oh, it's been so good. Oh,
Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again. Yeah, I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Wife walking out. These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my situation. I wouldn't do it again. What can I say? But I'm only human. And Lord, here I stand. I've been smoking a lot and drinking a lot and all up in the club. I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and I had no business doing it. No church or no Bible study ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this. Can't live my life in sin. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house, yeah, from the inside out. I need You to away my impurity. Lord, I need You to clean this house from the inside out. Restore, restore me. Take away my impurity. Listen, now if it wasn't for Your grace, You brought me out, without a doubt, without a doubt. You're more than a friend, more than a friend. You're a confidant. Oh, thank You, Lord, for cleansing me. I will always serve Thee. Clean this house, clean this house from the inside, out. Restore me. Take away my sometimes, and yeah, I can introduce you to the best cleaner alive. Every now and then we all go through a little strife, but if you let Him, He will change your life. Now I can hear you saying that life's been rough. Oh yeah, you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe. His grace is more than enough. Woo! Ooh. Oh, clean this house from the inside. Oh, oh, I need You to. I'm begging You to make me new, make me over. Do it for me. Take out all my iniquities.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. Once again, we want to thank you for participating with us on our online fellowship. We have a few announcements we want to do, then we're going to go right into our prayer session. We do believe it's important to pray. But this is what Hebrews, Jews call Yom Kippur. This is one of the holiest of holy days, and we think it's important that you know these things. So we're going to deal with those teachings, and we just want to encourage you to participate with us on the prayer lines, 6 a.m. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and 12 p.m. at Tuesdays and Thursdays. We want to encourage you to do that. Also, we want to continue to encourage you to log on to these channels. These teachings are airing on, and we're going to begin to upload a YouTube video for these particular services. So when you do hear these, you go to the webpage, to the online fellowship, or you go to the webpage, and you're going to be able to see these services, teachings in documentary format on the TV channel, on our channel. And also, you're going to be able to retrieve these teachings from the podcast. So we definitely want you to know about these resources. We definitely want to encourage you to participate in these resources. And also, please, when you're listening to this online, go to the page. The page can be accessible to the G2GFoundation.org. And you go to the page where it says Fellowship. And there we more than likely have the program and everything there available to you. That's also the place where you can give your gifts of love financially. So we do encourage that. We're going to go into our prayer session. And again, if you want to participate with us where we're here online, this is real time. So please participate with us. Also, we want to encourage you to tune into the talk show we have going and the Bible study we also have going in the midweek. So those are the things we want to encourage you about. Please make a note of those things. So let us go into our prayer session. And after our prayer session, we'll go right into our offering, and then we're going to go right into our teaching. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for allowing us to see another day, Heavenly Father, as we are appreciative of that. As your word says, in the morning you shall hear our voice. We thank you for allowing us to have a sound mind, sane consciousness, Heavenly Father. Father, we pray and lift up this nation. We pray for the lost, those whose names are written in the book of life, but who are being distracted, deceived, and disrupted by the adversary, and those things working and opposing against your righteousness and moral representation on this earth. Father, you said, you sent your son, and he declared, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we're praying that the will of the living Elohim and the power of the blood be manifested, Father. We pray that you let the nations know that they're just men. We just pray for the sanctifying power to be working upon those whom you've called, whose names are written in the book of life. Father, we pray for this nation and the evil running amok, that it be canceled, and that the body of believers will come together, congregate, and unite, and tell the world and proclaim this everlasting gospel in which you've given us the power to preach. Father, we pray against the evils that are going on in the Middle East, this demonic force of ISIS working against all and revealing and releasing all manners of evil, beheading people, decapitating people, Heavenly Father. We pray that you begin to do as Daniel saw the rock smashing the mountain. We pray that the rock of Jesus smashes this evil, Heavenly Father, and all those congregating behind it, Lord. And we pray for our believers around the globe who are being persecuted, those who are in Iraq, Heavenly Father, who are being persecuted by this evil, this monster. Let them know the sanctifying power of the blood of the living Jesus. Let them know that the God we serve is a living God, and he has the power to deliver and heal, Heavenly Father. Father, we pray that their faith doesn't waver. We're praying that believers in other countries can be mindful in prayer, and whenever the Spirit urges and moves and speaks, that we're obedient to do and help our brothers and sisters, because there's no color, no Jew, no Gentile, no color, no barrier, no creed, nothing that hinders us from being connected in the oneness of who you are, Heavenly Father. We pray right now for those who are less fortunate, that you comfort them, Heavenly Father, and that we be mindful that, no, we are sons of the Most High God, and we have the power to answer prayer. We pray for children who are in undeserving circumstances, Heavenly Father, that we as a body of believers, a community, be mindful to show the love, to show the protection. As your word says, protect the orphan, the widow, and the fatherless, Heavenly Father, the immigrant. We pray that we can get back to the sound doctrine that you've commanded and laid upon the church, Lord God, that upon this rock you will build the church, and that rock is your name. We are praying that we as a community of believers can come together, dropping everything that hinders, that divides, because we know the enemy wants to divide and conquer, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that you give us a praying heart, a praying mind, and a sanctified heart, a sanctified mind, that we can speak the word to every situation and circumstances, because we are mindful and know that the word is the only thing that has authority to operate in this earth realm, to push back the adversary's hand, Heavenly Father, and everything opposing your righteous will in this earth realm. Father, we thank you that you're the only judge in this earth realm, as we're seeing courts upon courts upon courts of these alleged supreme courts will not hear and rule righteously on righteousness, Heavenly Father, and issues of morality. But we thank you that you left your written word, that we can be used that as a point of reference, and we will stand firm on that word. And we know that when we stand firm on that word, we shall not be forgotten, because you said those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We will mount up like eagle's wings, Father. And your word says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I will help you. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will encourage you. I will be a service to you like my righteous right hand. We thank you, Father in heaven. We pray right now for the man of God delivering this word, that you will allow him to speak nothing but the word, and the word coming forth will be filled with healing, anointing, power, conviction, confrontation, correction, and confirmation, Heavenly Father. We thank you in the magnificent, majestic name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. In Yeshua's shame we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. We know that prayer is important. We're going to go quickly into our offering. Let me bless this offering. We're going to go right into our word. We're running a little behind of time. And I definitely want to finish this message, because I do believe it's very vitally important and certainly relevant during this time. I believe we as believers need to have an understanding of our history and culture in the Lord. So, Father, bless this offering. Bless those who give and bless those who don't have to give. We just ask that you allow every portion of this offering to go to the proper entities, that the kingdom and our mission may be fulfilled. Your mission may be fulfilled. We thank in your precious Son name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Don't give up yet. There is hope yet. You are so special. You were created for a purpose. Try to run away from yourself many times before, but there seems to be no way of escape, 'cause all the doors are closed. And everyone you thought you could depend on is no longer there. You feel like a fish out of water, and you are drowning in fear. But there is hope, just believe it. There is a purpose why you're here. Yes, there is hope, just believe it. That he who creates you loves and cares. Yes, there is hope, just believe it. That there is a purpose why you're here. Yes, there is hope. Believe it, that Jesus Christ, he loves and cares. No, no, no.
Okay, welcome back. We may run over a little bit, being that this is a special service, so please bear with us. We're going to pray and get right into our word. While we're waiting, I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to look at verses 27 through 32. So please, if you can, turn to Leviticus chapter 3. Verses 27 through 32. Leviticus chapter 3, verses 27 through 32. Father, we thank you for this word, and just ask that your hand is upon me. Speak to the hearts and minds of your people, that they're able to receive your word and receive you, so that they may receive truth and be released from whatever thing that may hinder them from being drawn closer to you. We thank you for the work that you're doing, and we know, and we sanctify through the power in the blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Again, once again, today is called Yom Kippur, an Atonement Day. And what usually happened during this time, there was these are one of the seven festivals that Elohim did in fact ordain. These are one of the seven festivals Elohim did in fact ordain. And it's the holiest holiday during those seven festivals among the Hebrews and Jews. When we look at Leviticus chapter 23, verses 27, when we look at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27, we want to understand, well, let's go to verse 26. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," this is the Lord in capital letters. And what we need to understand, whenever you see the word Lord in capital letters in the versions of the Bible, King James and so forth, it literally refers to the Tetragrammaton. Now, I'm telling you this because this is quite relevant throughout the course of this teaching. The Tetragrammaton was the correct name or the revelation of the proper name of Elohim. And it literally was four letters, YHWH or YHWH, in the transliteration of what it was in the Hebrew lettering. And this name was so holy that it shouldn't have been instituted. This is why Elohim gave a third commandment. Listen, my name is so powerful and majestic that all of creation stands at attention when I command it by my word. Don't speak my name in vain. Don't do it. So this is why there's a commandment forbidden against that. Now, I'm saying this because this will be quite relevant as we proceed with the teachings. Now, when we look at this, he says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there should be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." This is the Lord himself speaking to Moses, commanding and demanding this particular festival. Look what he says, "And you shall do no work in that day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now, let's keep reading. For whatsoever so it shall be that shall not be afflicted in that day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever so it be that does any work the same day, the same soul will I destroy from among the people." Now, basically what Elohim is saying, he's saying, I don't want you to do no work, and I want you to fast during this particular day. Why? It is most important. It is precious. Now, with respect to this, these are the Sabbaths that have been abolished. Because we know the writer Paul, Apostle Paul, Dr. Paul, as I like to say, because he was a scholar. And in today's language, his name would have been Dr. Paul. He writes that we are no longer bound to the law, which is very true. But he also understands that he's referring to these particular Sabbaths. This was a Sabbath to the Hebrews. This was a Sabbath to the Israelites. This is a Sabbath to the Jew. And on this Sabbath, he commanded, hey, I don't want you working, and I want you to fast. Now, let me just say this. We are not required. We are not mandated to keep any of these festivals at all. We are not. As we know, that law has been abolished. You don't have to keep this. But I tell you, when Elohim, God himself, began to move me by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love I had for him and maturation in that love, I was compelled to do these things. And as he compelled me to do these things, I began to get a greater understanding and a greater appreciation and a deeper revelation of the love of God. Now, I'm not saying because I do these things, I'm more spiritual than the next person. I'm saying because of the love I have in him, the love that has been matured in him, I'm able to do these things. And as a result, I understand clearer what Elohim was saying and why he gave these festivals. I understand clearer as to the love of the living God. Because remember, Yeshua, Jesus says, now, if you love me, you will do what I say. We said that last week. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, that if is conditional and it has so much power, meaning if you want to seize this thing, you can. Remember, the power that God gives us and the power that makes us gods and sons of God is the power we have a right to choose. Moses says, well, I'm giving you a choice, but I'm encouraging you and I'm giving you a cheat sheet. Choose life. The Messiah said, well, whoever has an ear, let him hear. Well, everyone has an ear, but he says, if you will turn your ear this way and hear, then you will get the blessing, you see? So Elohim himself says, I want you to do these things. Now, this was a certain festival. And again, this is a Sabbath that was abolished. We are no longer mandated to keep. This was not the fourth commandment Sabbath that many people preach against or teach against. And I don't want to get into that right away. OK, I don't want to get into that right away. But this is a Sabbath that he says you cannot You could disregard this. Now look what he says. For whoever doesn't do this, that soul shall be cut off. I will destroy him. I will remove him. So God is instituting this to say, hey, I want you to take this thing seriously. Because what was taking place here, 10 days ago we had Rosh Hashanah. This was the call of the new year according to the Hebrew Jew calendar. And what was thought and what was perceived was God had ordained his book of life already, and he had all the names he wanted in that book of life. But a person had 10 days to think about whatever he did wrong to get it right, to get his name into that book of life. Now, we got to understand that during this time, the high priest, which was called the high priest from the Levitical priesthood, he was ordained the one who would represent the people during the sacrifice. Now, during this, again, the Rosh Hashanah was the new year. You had a space allegedly believed. This is believed. You have 10 days for before Yom Kippur to think about this holy day because it was important. If your name wasn't written in the book of life or if the sacrifice didn't go through, you was in bad shape. It was not a good thing. Okay, it was not a good thing. So we have an understanding here. Now, your name was either put in the book of life or the book of death. And we understand this reference because let's take a look at Exodus. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 32. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse 31. Thank God for notes, huh? Because it allows me to go hit the key points the Holy Ghost impressed upon me during the study. Look at Exodus chapter 32, verse 31 through 33. What we're talking about, you had to keep this festival because your name was going to be written in that book of life. Now, how do we know there's a book of life? Well, look what Moses says in Exodus chapter 32, verse 31. Moses returned unto the Lord the proper name, the YHVH, the Tetragrammaton, and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of your book which you have written. See? So Moses had an inference of this book. Remember that this is just as important as the Tetragrammaton name that I've given you. So Moses himself says, now, please pardon their sin, and if not, you blot me out of the book. But look what Elohim says. He says, the Tetragrammaton says to Moses, whoever sins against me, that one I'm going to blot out of my book. So see, it's not like we are punished for the sins of our father, brother, family. We suffer from the results of the decisions that people make, but we're not going to be judged by God or punished by God for the sins that our family, father, mother, sister, brother make. No, that can't happen. Now, moving along rapidly, the tabernacle. When, first of all, we know how we know the history. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're the patriarchs. Joseph, one of the children of Israel, goes into Egypt as a slave, and he ends up being incarcerated, being falsely accused, and Pharaoh, God gives Pharaoh a dream. No one can interpret the dream, and then Joseph interprets the dream for one of the workers, employees of Pharaoh. He's called out of the prison. Joseph, boom, accurately interprets this particular vision for Pharaoh. Pharaoh sits him on a throne, manages everything. The brothers come to Joseph for food. They reconnect. He saves them and sustains his family, a form of a savior, Jesus prototype, if you will. Further down the line, the Hebrews multiply greatly. They're blessed. They are plentiful. Pharaoh says, these people are plenteous. If we don't do something about that right away and stop their population growth, they're going to do something to us. Kind of, if we look at what I like to say, inference of how society does a particular ethnic group. I won't get into that very much, but if you're in the spirit realm, you'll understand. I'm not a racial guy, because we know that there's no racism in the kingdom, but we got to understand the perils and identify the signs of the enemy. Bible says we're not ignorant to his devices, right? Go see now. He delivers them by Moses out of Egypt. The Israelites come out of Egypt with a high hand and they plundered the Egyptians. And so Elohim tells Moses, build me a sanctuary, a tabernacle. Now, the thing with the tabernacle, it has certain sections. And if you will go to our teaching, you will see the pictures. And if you can get a picture, you know that there was an outer court, there was an inner court, and there was a holy place, and then there was a most holy place. Okay, now, this tabernacle is just symbolism for what we hope every believer goes through. And we know that the outer court, you have the different things, the sacrifice, the washing, the when you go inside the holy place, you had the bread and so forth and the furniture in that place. But inside the most holy place was just the high priest and Elohim. It was high priest and God. And so as you, as a believer, what God wants you to be is between you and him. God wants you in that most holy place where you have a personal relationship with him. You don't need to go to a priest and confess your sins. As we're going to understand in the study, Yeshua, Jesus is your high priest and only mediator of the new covenant. So Elohim himself, your Father in heaven, wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants you to stand in that most holy place. And more importantly, because he's your daddy, he wants you to go boldly before the throne. He wants you to go boldly to say, ah, here's my son in whom I'm well pleased. Here's my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Elohim wants that for you. So we see that there were different components to the tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle was symbolism for the heavenly tabernacle. It was symbolism for the heavenly tabernacle. Now, let's see what happened in the Old Testament so we can bring a full circle and understand in the New Testament so we can have a clearer understanding of why this Day of Atonement takes place and why we ought to be encouraged to remember it out of love. Let's take a look at Leviticus 16. Let's take a look at Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, verses 1 through 30. Now, we're going to see if we can go through these very quickly, but it's very vital. It's chapter 16 of Leviticus, verse 1. Now, I read from the King James, modernizing its language, interchangeably sometimes going to the New American Standard. And the Lord, that's capital letters, the tetragrammaton, the name that's too holy to say, spoke to Moses after the death of two sons, Aaron. And the Lord in verse 2 says to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, that he shouldn't come into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he doesn't die. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now, basically, Elohim is telling him, the most holy God, the tetragrammaton is saying, listen, tell Aaron, he's been designated to be the high priest before me, your brother. Do not come into the most holy place anytime he wants. If you come into that most holy place anytime he wants, because the Ark of the Covenant dwelt in the most holy place. Now, you don't need to get into all of this, but we just need to learn the outer surfaces of things. And the most holy place basically symbolized this was the presence of the living Yahweh dwelt, the tetragrammaton. This is where he dwelt. And he says, you cannot come into my room anytime you want. Basically, God is saying, respect my privacy. Because if you go in this room, if you go into this most holy place anytime you want, you're going to die. If you come into this place without being invited or without having permission, you ain't gonna be able to make it out alive. So you shall tell Aaron to come, watch this in verse 3, to come into the holy place with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, wearing a girdle, linen girdle, and with a linen mitre on his head shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and put them on. So basically, Elohim is giving us symbolism of what he's requiring and desiring us to do in the new covenant. Now, Elohim is telling Moses, this is the way I want Aaron to approach me when he comes, when he does have permission to come into the most holy place. This is what he needs to do. Clean himself off, have that sacrifice for himself. In verse 5, he says, he should take the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. Now, this is what the ram was for. Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. So the goat was for the people. The bullock was for Aaron. He had to get himself right before he got the people right. Preacher, sir, ma'am, believer, before you try to help others into the body, God wants you connected first and cleansed and your house in order first. So it goes to the preacher and to the layman. So Elohim himself says, the tetragrammaton himself says, hey, tell Aaron to get that bull for himself. Get himself right. Atone for his sins first. Get himself situated. Get himself grounded in me first. Now take the goat for the people. Now you can get the people right, okay? And that's how it applies to each believer. Before I can tell you to do right, it would behoove me and be beneficial to me to get myself and have myself in a good standing with the Most High, El Elyon, God, Elohim. Now, in verse 8, and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Now, what's happening here? These two goats are being taken. One is going to be sacrificed, and that's going to be the sin offering to atone for the congregation of Israel. This is the Day of Atonement now. Why is this important? Because this sacrifice will relinquish and give the people a good standing with God. You see, it will give them a good standing with God because the Bible teaches without a sin offering or blood shedding, there is no remission of sin. So a life has to be paid for what the sins have, for the sins of the people. A life has to be paid. Now watch this. He says in verse 10, but the goat on which the lot fell to the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So now one goat was sent into the wilderness. One goat is presented for the sin offering to atone for the sins of the people. Now watch this. Verse 11 just basically gives you the instructions of what Aaron had to do to cleanse himself. He had to sprinkle that blood of the bull a few times to cleanse the sanctuary. Matter of fact, let me see. Go to verse 13. He says, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he doesn't die. He shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Now watch this. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins, so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remains among them in the midst. Watch this. And there should be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he's going in to make an atonement for the holy place until he comes out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation. He should go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it. So while he was conducting these things, the people waited outside, anticipating, hoping that the sacrifices were accepted and they were in good standing for another year with God. Okay, they were in good standing for another year with God. So these are the two goats. One goat presented before the Lord. He used that goat to cleanse, it says, cleanse the mercy seat and make an atonement for the holy place and cleanse the holy place for the uncleanliness of the people inside the tabernacle. All right, I'm hoping you're getting this. I'm kind of pressed for time, so I'm moving a little along, but you can get the visuals. So he took that goat. That fell upon the goat, that fell upon the one that was supposed to go before the Lord. He offered that goat as a sin offering, sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat to atone for the sins and the uncleanliness of the people. Now he, in verse 20, and when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place, that blood cleansed the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation, the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Watch this in verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So you see what he's doing? He's laying his hand upon the head of the goat. He's confessing the sins of the people. Why? He would know that because the people would come throughout the year offering sacrifices, telling the priest, this is the sacrifice I'm bringing for the sin that I'm aware of that I've done against God, against whomever, you see. And you got to know, during the law, as it was being practiced, they would even bring sacrifices for sins that they were not even aware of, you see. So this is what's happening. So basically what Aaron is doing is, I'm taking this, confessing the sins of the people, I'm transferring it on the goat, and I'm sending him away. So now what he's basically doing is he's transferring the sins of the people to something else, and he's sending the sins away. Are we getting this? So basically we see the symbolism of God removing the sin away from you when you confess those sins through Jesus Christ. Are we getting this? All right now. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited. That Azazel, the scapegoat, will go to a land uninhabited and bear the sins into the wilderness. So basically God is saying, when I take your sin, I remove your sin away from you so it can't come near you again. That's why the Lord says, hey, if your hand caused you to stumble, remove it. That is the mindset we ought to have with sin. Whatever causes you to sin, God is saying, remove it. He wants it far away from you to prevent you from stumbling and going back over that. So the goat basically says, hey, you get away from the people. You have the sins of the people. Don't come near the people no more. That's what God is saying. When I forgive you of your sin, don't go remembering it. Don't go bringing it back. When you do understand that you've sinned, get away from it. Take it away from your midst. Don't let it come around you. That's where we get that from. Now, let's see how we bring this thing to full circle for the New Testament and why this is important and how we see that Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, is our high priest. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Okay, look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. The first was the candlestick. He's telling you what the furniture was inside the holy place, the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle called the holiest of holy. This is the most holy place. We were just talking about that Aaron stood in when he was confessing the sins of the people. And this most holy place, it was him and God. And that's what he said. Nobody else is supposed to come in that place when Aaron is ministering. Just like when you get into the presence of Elohim and you get a solid, sound relationship with God, even when you first come in, you're not supposed to let anything come between you and that relationship with God. This is why the writer Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of God? What? Angels, principalities, what? Nothing, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. That's why when you come into a knowledge of who Elohim is by reading his word for yourself, establishing that personal relationship with God by reading his word, prayer, and fellowship, no one should be able to come between you and that relationship with God. When you know you're hearing from Elohim and he's telling you certain things, you shouldn't let no one or anything encourage you to deviate from that path that you've established with Elohim. Nothing should be able to separate you from that relationship because God knows you personally. Jesus says, hey, every hair on your head is numbered. That's how intimately connected the Father is with you. So the Father intimately knows you. You need to work on intimately knowing him and establishing that relationship. God knows you. God wants the relationship with you. He's already written your name in the book of life. He said, now I need you to know me. I know everything about you, but let's make up for lost times. Let me tell you about yourself. Yeah, that is how I am, Daddy. Really? I didn't know that was in me. I didn't know I had the power to do that. God said, I know you. You need to know me. Know me by reading the word. And remember, Yeshua says, when you know the truth, it will make you free. Now let's hurry. Which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shouting the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly, says we ain't got time for these things. He says, now these things were thus ordained. The priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Let's go continue. Verse 7, but the second went the high priest alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. So basically he's saying that the high priest went into the most holy place once a year. And let me just say this. It was during that time that once a year the high priest was allowed to use the proper name of Elohim. He was allowed to say the Tetragrammaton. Let me say it once. He was allowed to say Yahweh. He was allowed to say that as he was administering and atoning for the sins of the people, he was allowed to do that. So now, that was the only time he was able to use the Tetragrammaton, when he was inside the most holy place. And remember, it was once a year. That's why Jesus Yeshua says, now when you pray, you seal the prayer in my name, because now when your prayer goes up, I'm the mediator. I'm the one in the most holy place now. And instead of saying Yahweh, you're saying Yeshua. You see? Because he's connected and he's the one that's going to be the mediator for the covenant. And he's right next to the Father. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, see, it says he went once a year and he had to atone for himself. See, Aaron had to get himself right first. Me, as a man of God, Elohim, you, as a believer in the Messiah, Yeshua, you got to get yourself right first before you go before God. If I'm expected to pray for you, I got to have myself in a good place with God, because God only hears the prayers of the righteous. The Bible says the Lord will not hear the prayer of the wicked. The righteous prayers he hears. That's what the word says. So now, and if you're not in good standing with God, it's not too late. You can do it today. Don't feel bad. I'm no better than you. Where I am in the Messiah, you can have that. That's why he died for you. Yes, this is why. So now let's finish this off in verse 11. Look what it says. But Christ being a high priest of good things to come. Now Christ is a high priest, the Messiah, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What he's saying is this. Whereas in the old covenant, the high priest had to go year after year after year to atone for the people. No, this Messiah offered himself as a sin offering to atone for the sins of the world. Whereas that goat was the sin offering before the Lord, before Elohim, Yeshua says, I'm going to offer myself. Psalm says, look, I come to do the work as is written of me in the book and offer myself. He says, a body you've prepared for me, you see? So the Messiah basically says, I'm going to enter the most holy place once, offer myself once to atone for the sin of the world. This is why Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever means whoever. God is no respecter of person. That whoever means whoever comes, he's going to accept. So don't ever feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. We all weren't good enough, my friend. We all fall short, my friend. Get that out your mind. So get that out your mind. So now let's hasten this thing. But Christ becoming a high priest of great things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not to save this building, neither by the blood of calves, goats, but by his own blood, enter in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Messiah Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. Watch this. For this cause, he is the mediator. He is the go-between of the new covenant, that by means of his death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. So basically he's saying the new covenant has succeeded. It has been implemented. The Messiah, Yeshua, he's the high priest now that's going before God, atoning for our sins. That's why he says, when we pray, we're literally transferring our sins to him, like Aaron did with the goat, or the high priest did when he confessed the sins of Israel over the goat. When we confess our sins, we give it to Yeshua. That's why he removed the sins from us. And that's why he says, I won't remember them no more. His blood atones for those sins. Remember, Daniel talks about in 8:14, the sanctuary shall be cleansed. He not only cleansed this earthly sanctuary, he cleansed the heavenly sanctuary. Because remember, there was rebellion in heaven by the enemy. So the blood of the Messiah wiped everything clean. Oh my goodness, this is why we are so engaged into a better covenant, that God himself would die for our sins and atone for our sins. This is why we have a better covenant. Now watch this. As a result, remember we told you about that book. As a result, those who are in the Messiah have their names written in the book of life. Watch this. He that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white clothing, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is the Messiah talking, Yeshua, Jesus. He says, I'm not going to blot your name out. Remember, Moses says, hey, if you don't pardon their sins, blot my name out. But God himself says, not whoever sins against me, that's whose name I'm blotting out. So we see that there is a book of life. Watch this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Go to chapter 20, verses 12, to show you how this is relevant to the new covenant. This is what John is seeing. This revelation comes from God. Yeshua is transferring what he's seen and what Elohim, his Father, has given him to give to John. He says, and I saw the dead, John, small and great. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You see? So that book of life in New Testament. God told Moses, whoever sins against me, and so this is why our high priest died for our sins. This is why God told them the Day of Atonement, to establish the seriousness of this thing. And we're not by no means required to keep this thing, but we're also, when we understand the love, I believe we'll want to do it. Now, let me just say this quickly. This is why the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, a refuge. Those that come in are safe as a result of Yeshua being a high priest. When God, Elohim, told Moses, ushering out the people out of Egypt into the promised land, he says, establish cities of refuge. And if someone is killed or kills someone by mistake, they can go to the city of refuge. And as long as the high priest is alive, they'll be saved. We are guilty of killing the Son of Elohim, of God. And when we confess it and we run into the name of the Lord Jesus, who is our high priest, as long as we stay in God, we're safe from the punishment. Our name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, that's got to be a reason to make you excited. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. When you run in, you're safe. Jesus is the city of refuge. And if you don't know him as your Lord and personal Savior, I encourage you to do it today. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for this study. We just ask that your hand is upon the people, that we grow deeper in your love. We grow deeper into sanctification. We grow deeper in holiness. Father, I pray right now that your word penetrates the hardened heart, and remove that stony heart and put on the heart of flesh, that people may come to know and appreciate you and do what you've commanded them to do, only in love, to be compelled by love, removing tradition, removing faulty doctrine, removing man, that people can get a solid relationship with you through your Son, Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah. Father, I pray that people can come before you boldly and say, Father, I've sinned. God, I've sinned. I thought you were one trying to wait till I mess up and you exacted hard punishment and you're ready to punish me. But I understand that's not who you are. You went through great lengths and measures to save my life. And no one ever explained to me these things of the old covenant and how they were manifested and fulfilled in Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank you for having me on your mind today to give me clarity. Please come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, sanctify my mind, and renew it, that I may cast down everything that's not above you. And as I give you my sin, help me not to go run back to it, Lord. And I thank you, and we'll walk in your way. In your precious Son's name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And also, please, I encourage you to remember the announcements and just go deeper into the Lord. I want to encourage you just to go deeper into God, not doctrine, not what man telling you. You encourage and embrace the teaching, but you listen to the word of Elohim, the word of God. Hey, may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord shine his countenance upon you, that the name of the Lord is upon you. His word says that he will bless you. Let me see if I can get this right in Hebrew. Yerekekai Adonai v'yishmereka. Ye'er Adonai p'nai v'leka v'choneka. That means, may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord shine his countenance upon you, that the name of the Lord is upon you. His verses, he will bless you. Shalom, everybody.
For that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I kneeled down to pray, praying, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stopped worrying,
as soon as I stopped worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
when I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things start happening.
When I start looking at back then,
when I let go,
when I let go,
when I let God,
let
him have,
let God have his way.
There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in your hands, that everything will be alright. Let go and let God, let go, let God, oh, let go and let God, let go and let God, my brother, let go and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God.